How was Miami?
12 fucking hour day on a Sunday.
Nice.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm a little sad.
A little sad? Why are you sad?
Because we lost a couple of well, we lost a legend.
Judge Wapner?
Yes, Judge Wapner.
Oh.
Judge Joseph Wapner. If you didn't grow up in the 80s into the early 90s and you didn't watch People's Court.
Yeah.
Perhaps you have seen Rain Man, the movie with Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise, 10 Minutes to Wapner, 10 Minutes to Wapner. He died in his sleep at the age of 98. I think that's the way to go.
That's awesome.
That is a life that right there. That is.
Yes.
I guess that's the most you could hope for, right?
Yeah.
98.
Definitely.
And bow out in your
98,
sleep.
98, go in your sleep.
Yeah, or 97, I'm sorry.
That's still fine.
Yeah.
Hooker on each arm?
Yeah. Yep. He only has one acting credit to his name, and that is for the TV series Sliders.
Really?
Where he played Commissioner Joseph A. Wapner.
Oh.
In the pilot. I don't know what it was, but maybe whatever Earth they go to, like Judge Wapner was like head of the police or something.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. He spent 13 years on the People's Court.
Yep.
As himself.
Well, and that's before the People's Court became run by assholes.
Well, yeah.
You know, somebody needs to smack Judge Judy for just being a bitch.
Made a ton of TV appearances by himself or as himself on like the Arsenio Hall Show and CBS This Morning. He appeared on Muppets Tonight in 96.
Did he?
With Whoopi Goldberg, yep.
Okay.
In 98, he was in something called Animal Court.
Okay.
Which I'm assuming the famous Judge Wapner and his trusted sidekick Rusty preside over real court cases that relate or involve animals. The animals, everything from horses to monkeys, were almost always in the courtroom with the defendants.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So he went from the People's Court to Animal Court with his bailiff Rusty. Rusty died in 2002.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At the age of 76.
Well, good for him.
He, too, was in Sliders. So it must have been some offtake of People's Court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's fun.
He was also on Divorce Court.
As himself or as a customer?
As an actor in 1957.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a career.
Yeah. So, poor George Wapner.
Oh, well.
I guess, like, everything that I heard, like, nobody had him in the death pool, so.
Yeah, well, I think most people have forgotten about him.
Most people would have probably thought that he had died already.
Yeah.
Because nobody remembers Judge Wapner.
Yeah.
Born in 1919.
Holy crap.
Yep. Yepers. That's a life right there. That's how I want to go. In my sleep at the age of 97.
All right.
And
I'll smother you with your pillow if it doesn't happen.
Okay. His wife is still alive.
Really?
Yeah. They were married in 1946.
Okay.
That's a long marriage. He was first appointed to the L.A. Municipal Court in 1959.
Yeah.
So he did 30 years. 60, no, 20 years. And then did People's Court and got famous.
Huh.
See, it's never too late.
Yeah.
Never too late.
There you go.
Yeah. He briefly dated Lana Turner in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, see, the boy, he was a player, too. Nice. So besides him, we also lost another person.
Yeah, game over, man.
Yeah, poor Bill Paxton. Age of 61. He apparently went in for heart surgery and made it through the surgery and then had complications and had a stroke.
Wow.
That sucks.
Well, better than living with a stroke.
Yeah. I don't know. You're still living.
Sure.
As I looked over his credits today, the amount of things that he was in that I liked as a kid and still like to this day is amazing.
Really? Why yeah. is that?
So he was in the original Terminator.
Yeah.
He was in Weird Science.
Yes. That's one of my favorites.
He was in Commando I'm guessing it was a small scene.
Mm-hmm.
His big breakout thing was Aliens, where he played Hudson.
Yep.
Anybody who quotes Aliens quotes Hudson. He was in a horror film called Near Dark in 1987, which is regarded as kind of like a classic horror film. He did Navy SEALs, Predator 2, Tombstone. So starting in 93, he goes on this tear of all these giant movies. So he does Tombstone, True Lies, Apollo 13, Twister, and Titanic within a 10-year period.
Really?
Yeah. And actually shoehorn in A Simple Plan, which he's widely regarded as being excellent in. All within 10 years of each other.
Wow. Well, how can you beat that?
I don't know. He could still be alive, I guess. He did on Showtime, Big Love, where he was polygamist.
Yep.
I guess that was huge for him. He was in the Hatfields and the McCoys, which won all kinds of awards.
Uh-huh.
He most recently did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Where he played a Hydra turncoat. He played a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who turned out to be a Hydra agent.
Mm-hmm.
He did Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise. He was a Nightcrawler. And he's still, well, he was in Training Day
at the
time of his death, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
Yep.
So, yeah. Another piece of my childhood.
Gone. Trash. Gone.
Yep.
There you go.
Being ripped away one piece at a time.
Yep. Little by little. Chipping away.
61 years old.
Yep.
Although, you know, we didn't talk about it when he died, but Miguel Ferreira.
Yes.
Recently
Miguel
died, too.
Ferreira. Yes.
And he was 61 also.
Oh. It's the 61 club.
So like, last year, everybody seemed to die at, what was it, 69? No, how old was Rickman when he died?
I don't recall. Let me check.
If there was only a way, Alan.
God, where could that be?
Rickman. Yeah, he was 69. So him, Bowie, and a whole bunch of those of the other people that died in 2016 were all 69 at the time.
Wow.
So I wonder if this year it's all 61-year-olds. It's a bad year to be turning 61.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another giant. Always enjoyed him and mostly anything he did.
Uh-huh.
His role in True Lies, like, everybody's funny in True Lies. Like, even Tom Arnold is funny in True Lies.
Yeah.
But like, his character of Simon is just hysterical when he pees himself and... You know, he's such a good actor.
Yeah.
So, I will miss him. Single tear for Bill Paxton. But anyway.
Sad, so sad.
Yeah. So did you watch the big debacle last night? I mean the Oscars last night?
I did not. I watched up until the Moana song. And then I switched over to Walking Dead. And then when I got home from work today, I sped through the Oscars to see how bad it was.
So apparently...
That's got to be freaking embarrassing as hell.
So apparently they made two mistakes.
Yep.
The first one is that they used the wrong picture in the in memoriam section of somebody who was still alive. They had the right name, wrong picture.
Yes.
So people were tweeting going, you may want to change that because that woman's still alive.
Yes.
So if that wasn't bad enough and the one glitch for the show, during the biggest award of the night, they fucked up.
Big time.
So everything that I read kept saying how Warren Beatty fucked up the award. Which is not true. Faye Dunaway fucks up the award.
No. I wouldn't blame Faye.
Okay, so this is what happened.
Whoever fucked up the award was the person who gave them the wrong envelope.
Okay, but this is what happened.
You've got a 90-year-old Faye Dunaway and a 200-year-old Warren Beatty. They just read the biggest text on the card. And Warren Beatty was trying to get somebody's attention to come look at it.
Right, exactly. So Warren Beatty opens the envelope, and he looks, and he goes, and the award goes to, and he pauses.
Yep.
Now, everybody in the audience is thinking, oh, he's just trying to be funny.
He's just milking it.
He's milking it. But the entire time, he's going, I know this isn't right.
Yep.
It's not Emma Stone who's on the card,
right?
So Faye Dunaway says, "Come on," and he shows it to her, as if to say, "Wrong card."
But
she says, "La La Land." So
right.
So he doesn't read it. She reads it and gets everybody up on stage. And I would assume that all the voiceovers as people are walking up are all pre-recorded.
Yep.
So I don't know if the people that are in the booth necessarily know who's about to win or whether they just have everything up in front of them. And when they hear La La Land, they hit the file that says La La Land on it.
Yes, that's exactly how it is.
Okay, so they hear La La Land, they hit that, so everything seems legitimate.
Yep.
Everything seems fine. They come up on stage, everybody gets their Oscars, and they give their speeches. And three speeches in, somebody comes out. And the guy is giving his speech, and then he turns around, he turns back, and he goes, and we didn't win, by the way.
Yep.
And then another dude comes over and he's like, "This is not a joke. We lost. This is
not a mistake."
Yeah, this is a mistake. Blah blah blah. And then they bring out Jimmy Kimmel and people with headsets on from backstage. And now it's like, I don't know if you saw the picture of the crowd while this was all going on.
No, I did not.
No. So they have a picture of into the crowd and all the celebrities just have these puzzled looks on their faces. As they're trying to figure this all out. You and I have worked a lot of shows that are on headsets. I would have loved to hear the headset chatter.
Oh my God.
Going on backstage when they called the wrong movie.
Well, and then there's the poor guy in the orchestra pit conducting And he's like, what's going on? What's going on? Somebody tell me. Somebody tell me. What happened? What happened?
Yeah. And then they have to get everybody from La La Land off the stage so right. that they can bring up the other cast.
And they were pretty gracious.
Well, yeah.
About not winning, which I thought was great because they didn't like try to joke about it and go, ah, we're just going to keep it or, you know, whatever, you know, hand it to the other producers and then try to wrestle it away.
Right.
They were just like, I'm honored to hand this to my brother from Moonlight. It's like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Right.
And then Jimmy Kimmel after the Steve Harvey joke,
which I thought was funny,
which was very funny. And then he goes into, it's like, it was my fault. I knew I would screw up this show. It was all my fault.
Yeah, I mean, I think they handled it pretty well. But
yes.
The fact that it happened, I don't know. Why do you have two cards of Bose Emma Stone on them?
Because you have one accountant on stage left and one accountant on stage right, depending on where the presenters decide to enter from.
Well, that's not all worked out ahead of time?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, because, you know, it depends on where the dressing rooms are. It depends on, you know, Faye only comes on stage left because that's her good side or all that weird shit. So both sides have a complete set of cards. So whoever was on the side, the stage left where Warren Beatty came out, handed him the wrong card.
Oh.
Totally that person screw up. Totally their fault. Fired.
Do you think they're fired today?
Oh, big time. or they're like cleaning toilets in the office. Because there's no way after all of the negative press that person, if he's not fired, doesn't quit.
Yeah, you don't think they just laugh it off and be like, yeah, whatever.
No. I do not.
The right people got their award. It's okay.
Eventually.
I mean, so I did not see that many Oscar-nominated films last year.
I did not see any.
I saw Hacksaw Ridge this past weekend,
uh-huh.
which I think was up. I didn't even know what Moonlight, is that what it's called?
Yep.
I have no idea what that's about. I have no idea what, like, I know La La Land is a Hollywood film about Hollywood musicals.
Yes.
And that's about all I know.
Yep.
It is interesting to think that now Suicide Squad is an Academy Award winning film.
Sure.
But I mean, everything that I saw, the one thing that I wish they did was record the headset chatter.
Oh, I'm sure somebody has it.
You think so?
I mean, if they can release Lady Gaga's in-ear monitor mix from Super Bowl, I'm sure somebody's just waiting for the right opportunity to do this. Because I do believe it's the same production company.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Because that would just be so cool. Because I could just imagine, like, somebody... So, somebody's got to know that it's the wrong... card, right?
What do you mean? At what point?
Yeah, at what point do they know it's wrong?
Well, after she announced it.
So somebody...
Although, since only the two accountants knew the contents of the envelopes...
Right, well, that's what I'm asking.
So it probably wasn't until the accountant came forward and said, oops, my bad.
Or the other accountant was like, wait a minute. What do you mean La La Land won?
Yeah. Yeah, because the producer would not have known. The stage manager wouldn't have known.
Why is there that much secrecy surrounding the fucking Oscars?
Because. they want people to watch the show and to watch the commercials and, you know.
Yeah, but, like, they should at least, like, clue in some people at the show.
No. No, because, I mean, especially with social media today, if, you know, the accountant's whispering to, you know, to Faye Dunaway backstage before the announcement and goes, hey, by the way, Moonlight wins Best Picture. And you know, the gaffer who's you know, hanging out there whips out his telephone and says, "Hey guys, guess what?" You know, moments before, you kind of take the, you know, take the specialness away.
Okay. Wow, what a fuck up.
They're also saying that because the Academy changed the envelope design, that it was more difficult to read the outside of the envelope.
Okay, whatever.
So,
That's the Academy trying to cover their asses.
of course, that's Steve Harvey all over again.
It was funny that he said that about Steve Harvey, though.
Yes.
I blame Steve Harvey.
See, I'm surprised he didn't immediately blame Matt Damon.
Yeah, you would think.
You know, because that was the running joke throughout the entire thing, so.
Well, I think at that point he was just trying to come up with anything
Yeah.
to
To
diffuse
defuse the
whatever the
situation.
situation was going to be. You know, because here is a predominantly white cast taking it from a all
A
black
black
cast.
cast, yes.
Like, I'm sure somebody's butt was puckering somewhere going, "Oh, we can't have this. Jimmy, get the fuck out there."
Yep. Yeah. Oopsie.
So, in case anybody's interested, Moonlight chronicles the life of a young black man from childhood to adulthood as he struggles to find his place in the world while growing up in a rough neighborhood of Miami.
Oh, I'm gonna run out and see that one.
Well, I don't think you're the audience.
Well, good. That's good because I didn't see it.
Well, I was a little surprised Jungle Book won Best Visual Effects.
I was too. I was surprised that Emma Stone beat out Meryl Streep for Best Actress.
I think they're just tired of giving it to Meryl
You think so?
Streep. Yeah. I think the voters look at the card and say, fucking Meryl Streep again?
Yeah.
She's got like, what, eight of them?
Something like that.
Yeah, just give it to somebody else. Now, I didn't see La La Land, so I don't know whether or not it was a good performance. She seems to act the same way in everything, so.
Right.
I mean, it's like Gwen Stacy, in a musical, whatever.
Gwen
But
Stacy.
yeah, she was Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man.
Who was Meryl Streep? Oh,
No,
Emma Stone.
Emma
Okay.
Stone.
All right. I'm like, Meryl Streep was in Spider-Man?
No.
Okay.
So, quite the fuck up. I quite enjoyed it.
Yes.
And that was the only thing I really saw. I didn't watch the Academy Awards. I've kind of gotten to a point in my life where I just don't care. I used to live for it. It used to be like my Super Bowl.
Yeah, Meryl Streep only won three Academy Awards.
That's it?
Kramer versus Kramer, Sophie's Choice, and The Iron Lady in 2012.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
However, she did also win an American Comedy Award for Postcards from the Edge.
Well, that's only thanks to Carrie Fisher.
Yes. Yeah. So the other thing that I noticed about the Academy Awards, and this is a topic I have brought up in the past,
Is?
is there's a certain point in time when celebrities need to disappear.
Like who?
Well, I was very uncomfortable with Michael J. Fox when he started slurring his words.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
What
You didn't
did
see him come out of the DeLorean with Seth Rogen?
they? No, did that actually happen?
Yes. Yeah. They were presenters. So, he looked shakier than he's been in the past. And when he was talking, you could notice he was having difficulty. And it's like, dude, why are you doing this? And then, of course, you know, there's 200-year-old Warren Beatty. It's like, what the hell happened to him?
Yeah, well.
He got old. And Faye Dunaway just needs to go away.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's really slurring, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty bad. And like I said, I just felt uncomfortable for him. Because it's like, okay, dude, really? You don't need this.
Well, that's like when he goes up... When he played with, Coldplay.
Yeah.
And that video where you could tell he wasn't playing... He was trying to, and some idiot was pumping the guitar sound out to the amps. And it was just like,
yeah.
You're like, oh my God, why? Oh, what a shame. Poor Mikey.
Yeah. Poor Mike Seaver. No, that's another guy. Poor Alex Keaton.
Yeah. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Did anybody get political?
Yes. The guy who won for foreign language film.
Was that the guy that wasn't going to get to come because of the travel ban?
No, but that's why he didn't show up. Oh. Was to make a statement about it. He had somebody else read a statement when he won. That the reason he was not there was in support of the other, you know, other filmmakers from the seven banned countries and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, eh. I thought the commercial by Audible was genius.
What was that commercial?
It was just a close-up on Zachary Quinto reading a passage from 1984. And at first, I thought it was going to be something about, like, politics at the movies.
Okay.
But it was just an ad for Audible. It was genius. It was genius. It just totally hit you from left field.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. Very quick.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was okay. I thought the opening number was fun. Seeing that it was a song from Academy Award nominee Trolls. The Smurfs ripoff.
Yeah, well.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was great that Kimmel didn't try to do something himself.
I think he
just hosted.
Yeah, I think he knows better.
Yeah. And some of the stuff he did was pretty funny.
I saw the tweeting thing.
The tweeting thing was funny. The did you see like the candy falling from parachutes over the audience?
I saw pictures of it. I didn't actually see the video.
So he did that a couple of times. He did the candy, and then he's like, "Yo, so how are you guys doing? Are you getting a little more hungry, or you want something a little more substantial? You know, how about donuts and cookies?" And those fell like rocks compared to the candy. I thought the tour group was funny. Did you see that?
I've read about that, yeah.
It was very funny. And, of course, there was a very gregarious black couple at the front of the line who were the ones that Kimmel was spending all of his time with. And he goes to the woman. He goes, "And who's your favorite actor?" And she looks over and points at Denzel. "That man over there." It was cute. It was just like Ellen buying pizza. Or Chris Rock buying Girl Scout cookies.
Right.
It was just a cute little funny interlude. The Matt Damon stuff was pretty good. "Hey, Matt, I remember when I was the fat one." He made fun of his ponytail Chinese movie.
Oh, did he?
Which I'm still wondering why he made that movie.
Money.
Apparently.
Money, man. It's all about the money. No matter what they fucking say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a very interesting Academy Awards. I thought it was tight compared to past years. It didn't seem real rambly.
Yeah.
The best song stuff was pretty eh. The two songs from La La Land put me to sleep. They were very lovely. Just didn't feel it.
I mean, I miss the days when they decided that they weren't going to perform them live.
And
like, they did that a couple of years where they just kind of played snippets of it.
Yeah.
And they got rid of the performance aspect.
Yeah.
And it was a lot better because it just flowed.
Well, I think that was after the Debbie Allen years. Debbie Allen would choreograph.
Right.
And she would choreograph the best song numbers. And you would get some random celebrity who had nothing to do with that movie who'd come out and sing.
Oh, was that like when Rob Lowe did the thing with Snow White?
Well, that was the opening number.
Oh, okay.
That was a little earlier.
Okay.
But when they did Lion King, it was David Alan Grier and the guy who did the voice of Pumbaa, because Nathan Lane was like, yeah, I'm done with this. But then she would also do like these artsy choreographed pieces to best score.
Okay.
And those were weird. So I think that's what happened was at a certain point they said, let's try something different.
Yeah. And then there was also, I remember like when the show used to be really long and they would do things like they would get past recipients up on stage.
Oh yeah. To show like the class photo of best actress or whatever.
Yeah. And like I remember like there, like Jack Nicholson disrupting everything being up there, like really weird shit like that would happen.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just when they didn't give a fuck how long it was.
Well, they didn't because they thought they were so fabulous.
Right.
I'm still surprised they're allowed to go over.
Yeah, well.
That they just don't hold them to it and say, you got 3 freaking hours. Yeah. It's done. All right?
Yeah, it's longer than any movie that's up for an Academy Award here.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I remember the year that they tried to offer, like, hey, whoever has the shortest speech gets a free TV.
Oh, yeah.
And people were going up being like, I'm going to just talk as long as I want because I already have a television.
Right.
Like, you can't bribe me with televisions? Okay.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they could be in and out in 15 minutes if they just really tried.
Well, it should be like the science awards.
Yeah, all you need is an hour. Look, you don't have to get real speechy up there. Just thank
Here's the 5 nominees. Here's the winner. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Jesus.
Yep.
Next.
Wasn't there a year where they brought them all up on stage? Like here's the 5 actors for Best Supporting Actor, and they were all up on stage?
It sounds familiar.
And then, so whoever won just stepped forward?
Like, yeah, they cut out all the rest of them had to, like, slink out.
Yeah, well, it cut down all the travel time.
Yeah.
They should bring that back.
Sure. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
You should.
I will.
Put in my name as director.
Yeah. Director, Chris Hayner? The fuck is he?
No, director of the show.
Oh.
Yeah, let me direct.
No, I think it would be funnier if somebody opened the envelope and it's your name.
Yeah. And then I'm way up at the top?
Yes.
Woohoo! Yeah! I'll be right down.
Although I didn't notice, I had seen online that Jackie Chan got some sort of award, but I don't remember seeing it when I zipped through the TV show. Because at one point they showed him, and it looked like he was like way in the back of the theater.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, well, maybe that's not him. You know, he's just like the bus boy from Golden Buffet.
Right.
Yeah.
There's somebody back there with that looks like a Chinese guy. I don't see him on the list of winners.
No, he got some kind of other award.
Okay.
Or maybe not.
See, my, okay.
No, because I'm just seeing, so what I had seen, I guess, was old.
Oh.
I guess he had gotten an award back in November.
Oh. And they were just replaying it?
And he's wearing the same outfit, so that's what threw me off.
Okay. See, my gripe, and I think I bring this up every year, is the fact that you can have the best director and the best film be two separate things. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, so the director of La La Land won last night, but Moonlight won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Well, it's only the Best Picture because of the director. So shouldn't the Best Director and Best Picture
be the same?
Be the same?
Yes.
I don't get that shit. That has never made any sense to me.
Hmm.
I understand if you think that one actress was better than another in a different film or whatever, but when it comes down to film and director, if they're not the same, there's a problem.
Oh, apparently he did get an award last night. It was the award from November, though.
Okay. Lifetime Achievement Award?
It just says Honorary Academy Honorary Award during the technical portion.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, good times.
Oh, Jackie Chan.
He also brought two stuffed panda bears as his dates. Because apparently he is the panda ambassador.
Well, wasn't he also the guy that said that he's going to spend all his money before he dies because he doesn't want his kids to have anything?
Was that him? I don't know.
I think that was him. I think that was.
Jackie Chan.
Kids. Money. Let's see what that brings up.
Right.
He has a net worth. Are you ready for this?
$7.
Are you sitting down?
Mm-hmm.
$395 million.
Oh, that's it?
Yes. Although in May of last year, they said his fortune was only worth $130 million. Not that that's anything to sneeze at, but...
Yes.
So the title of this is Why Jackie Chan's Son Will Get None of His $130 Million Fortune.
Uh-huh.
One potential heir who will not benefit from such inherited wealth is J.C. Chan, son of iconic action movie star Jackie Chan. Negating an earlier pledge to leave only half of his fortune to charity, Jackie Chan revealed in October of 2012 that he instead intended to give his entire fortune to charity, totally disinheriting his offspring or other family members. And it says, why? Because he believes in hard work. If my son is capable, he can make his own money. If he's not, he'll just be wasting my money.
What a douche. What I had seen last night was that they showed him during the Justin Timberlake performance, and people on Twitter were commenting about how far back in the theater he was. And they're saying, well, that's because of his award. He didn't get an on-screen award.
Okay.
But yeah, he was like back in the nosebleed seats.
Nice.
And he got some sort of award for his achievements in film.
Right.
So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. The Oscars.
Yep. Yep. So Jackie Chan, kind of a douche.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I would like, I mean, if I had a lot of money like that, I would probably say, I'll give you enough to live on until you're 40.
Well, the kid is now in his early 30s.
Well, see, he's only got a few years left.
Apparently, he has tried to launch a movie career.
Yeah.
The younger Chan has starred in 20 movies.
Oh, wow.
But has largely been associated with flops.
Okay.
Among the spectacular failures was a movie co-starring his father in 2012 called Double Trouble. It only grossed $9,000 in ticket sales.
Wow. He also starred in a movie with Jackie Chan called 1911, which was Jackie Chan's 100th film, and that became Jackie Chan's least profitable and worst reviewed film to date. He's also a voice actor. He's on the Chinese voice cast of Kung Fu Panda and Kung Fu Panda 2.
Okay, so he's making a living.
Sure.
All right. Jackie Chan expressed a determination to stick to his decision to disinherit him upon his death. What are you doing over there?
Nothing. Why?
Fixing your headset?
Sure.
Okay. You jerking off? What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. According to Jackie Chan, if his son was successful in capitalizing on the advantages he has enjoyed throughout his life, he would not need an inheritance. On the other hand, if his son failed to make a success of himself, Jackie stated that any money he inherited would be wasted.
Wow.
Apparently, JC's expensive lifestyle has cost him quite, has put him in some financial troubles.
He's also been in jail for accommodating drug users.
Hmm. The hell does that mean? Is that like, come to my pad, you can smoke some weed?
That kind of sounds like it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. He faced criminal charges and sentences up to the death penalty or life imprisonment for allegedly hosting others to consume marijuana.
Oh, whatever. That's weird.
But he did a movie last year. He did a movie in 2015. He did three movies in 2013. He's working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good for him. That's nice.
It's not $130 million worth of work, though.
Well, there you go. Well, so, did you watch Walking Dead last night?
I did.
What did you think?
I'm confused. Okay, so out of all the episodes that they've done recently, that have basically been setting up this war, I enjoyed this one the most.
Okay.
I happen to like Eugene. I think the way that Josh McDermott plays him is funny. I think that it adds a bunch of levity to an otherwise really heavy show.
Mm-hmm.
And while you have all the heaviness of Dwight trying to find his wife and saying goodbye in whatever way that was with the beer and the pretzels.
Yep.
You had, for the first time, Eugene really in his element. Whatever he's read, whatever he's seen on TV that he remembers with the science and all that other shit.
Yeah.
Is paying off in spades now. And the scene where he goes to get the medicine and the woman just kind of like shoos him away and he stops and turns around. That was a deciding moment for Eugene of like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this huge.
But don't you think that he's just bullshitting them the way that he did to Abraham and Rosita way back when?
Yes, and look how far that got him. That kept him alive.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows how to make bullets. He made the one for Rosita, so no matter what else happens, he's got that in his back pocket.
Yeah.
He can lie all he wants about the other shit. Because at that point, like, all he's got to say is, like, I still know how to make the ammunition.
Yeah.
Which is what they're going to need. And the fact that he was able to come up with a plan on how to pretty much fortify the wall.
Yeah.
With pouring the hot lead or the metal onto the
Onto
walkers.
the walkers, yep.
Like that just proves that he can think on his feet. Yeah, and I like the juxtaposition of him and Dwight where you think they're going to throw him into the room where Daryl was, and
Yeah.
like Eugene's starting to flip out and stuff, and they keep going back and forth, and then Dwight has the door kicked in and the shit kicked out of him, and Eugene
Yep.
ends up in the room with like video games. And I love the delivery at the end where Negan is like, "I just need to know what's your," and before he can finish the question, he's like, "I'm Negan. I've always been
Yeah.
Negan. I just need to meet you to know that I was Negan." Like that whole thing is just like he knows that all he has to do is lie to get away with what he wants.
Yeah, that's
And he
true.
pretty much has whatever he wants.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah.
But where does this fall in the timeline? Is Daryl still there at this point?
No.
So
No.
this is actually linear, that they took Eugene after Daryl has escaped, right?
Daryl escaped while Negan was at Alexandria and he kills Spencer.
Right.
So that's when Daryl escapes. They take Eugene, and this is them bringing Eugene back. So this is actually disconnected from the timeline of like what we saw last week.
Right.
So that happens in like another few days or a week or whatever.
Okay.
So what you're seeing now is set back in the timeline a bit.
See, that's what's confusing.
It does get confusing. So what I could only imagine is at some point during this that you don't see is Negan sending the other guy to Alexandria to go look for Daryl, and that's when Gabriel takes all the food and disappears.
Right.
So there's a whole lot going on as the timeline is concerned.
Right. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
Are you watching Talking Dead anymore? Did you watch last night's?
I only watched the first like 5 minutes
Okay.
before
I
I'm
don't even go
done.
that far.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm over the whole let's discuss what we just saw in detail
Right.
and talk to a bunch of people who really can't tell you the answers anyway. 'Cause even I mean, like even if you want to know what's going to happen to Eugene, it's not like Josh McDermott can be like, "Oh, well, you know, from here he does this, this, and this."
Right. Right.
So all they can do is discuss.
Exactly what everybody else just saw.
Yeah, so I don't, and I kind of lost it. Like, I lost my enthusiasm for the show in the beginning of the season when they did the outdoor one where they got rained on.
Oh, see, I don't even think I saw that
So that was for the very first episode. They showed it in this big like amphitheater thing, and
Okay.
then they had Talking Dead live after, and they were all outside, and it started to rain on them.
Okay.
And the only person that people wanted to see and talk to was Jeffrey Dean Morgan
Sure.
because he had just killed two people.
Right.
And they left him until the very last person to come out, and he was only on stage for about 5 minutes. And they didn't even really talk to him. And it was like, okay, you're not going to discuss the things I want to hear. So I'm kind of over it. And whenever they bring out the super fans, it's like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, like Nicole, what's her name?
Right.
Nicole Brown Simpson. That's not her name.
No.
But
Yvette.
it's like, yeah, Nicole Yvette Brown.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it was kind of cute the first few times, and she's really enthusiastic, and but then it's like, oh Christ, again?
Right. So you couldn't get anybody else from the cast?
Yeah, exactly.
To come sit on this couch, you have to keep bringing her back.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Andrew Lincoln's never on it.
Well, no, because he's busy.
Because he's got shit to do.
Exactly.
They only usually get him for like one show a year or whatever. And otherwise, it's like people
from
the episode.
That's probably contractual.
Yeah, and like, so they had the dude that played Dwight on it last night. And he, I don't know the guy, so I'm going to say this as a observer from the outside. He kind of looks like a douche. Like he's got this smug look on his face. And, you know, Josh McDermott's sitting there cracking jokes. And, like, they made a point of, like, hey, the last time you worked together, you spent your day biting his dong, which is, I think is the way that Hardwick put it.
Uh-huh.
Because there was that scene where he has Eugene on the ground and Eugene turns around and bites his dick.
Yes.
So, like, he was trying to joke with the other dude about that, and the other dude just kind of sat there. And it was like, you're on the biggest show on television. At least act like you're fucking happy to be there.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, especially if he's got some larger plot to fill as things go on.
Which he does. Well, if they follow the comic books, he does.
Exactly. Yes.
So, I don't know. I'm it's weird.
Yeah. Very bizarre. But there you go.
I mean, and I do like the fact that they're to the point where Rick doesn't have to be in every episode.
No.
That they can step away from one storyline and go into the other and it still be a good episode. Because for the longest time, like, he had to be in everything, even if it was, like, one scene.
Right.
Oh, you got to remember, Rick is still there. But now.
Well, I mean, wasn't he? He was also the star.
Well, yeah. I mean, technically, he still is.
Yeah, but they're spreading it around.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that Daryl has a bigger following than Rick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure Negan does, too. I mean, even though everybody hates Negan, I'm sure, like, you know, it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny that, like, after Watchmen, he kind of got sent down to the minor leagues of film and did a shitload of, like, direct-to-DVD stuff.
Yep.
And it wasn't until Walking Dead came knocking back where people were like, oh yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It's funny how Hollywood works like that. I mean, not that Watchmen was a great film, but it was good for what it was.
Yeah.
If you like 3-hour superhero movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I'm interested to see where they go with this as far as, because everything feels like they're setting it up, but they keep setting it up.
Yeah.
They keep moving the pieces around and it's like, all right, when is this going to pay off?
Right.
And if it's going to be 3 more episodes where nothing happens and then you get a hint of the war that's not coming until next season.
Right.
It's going to be, this is going to fall pretty flat.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're trying to give you hints that people are starting to turn on Negan.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not coming out and saying it.
No, you can definitely see at the end of that episode, at the end of last night's episode, that Eugene and Dwight are flip-flopped. Like, Eugene's all about being part of the Saviors.
Yep.
Like, all I got to do is keep this up and I'm home free. And Dwight's like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out his motive at this point. It's like, so is he just really thinking he's got it made? Or do you think he's thinking that he's now the inside man?
Who, Eugene?
Yeah.
I don't, well, I mean, knowing his character, like, I don't think he thinks that they're coming to rescue him. So he's probably looking around saying, this might be as good as it gets. So I might as well just embrace this.
Yeah. I think it remains to be seen.
I mean, come on, they gave him the Easy Street CD.
Well, see, that's why I was trying to figure out. It's like, well, maybe he gets infatuated with the Easy Street CD and he's the one who's playing it over and over again and Daryl's in the next room going crazy.
Yeah, that would be funny, but no.
So, no. Oh, well.
Yeah, wouldn't that be the shit? See, now that would be a good storyline. Somebody comes knocking, they're like, why do you keep playing that song? He's like, I don't know, I just like it.
Yeah, well, yeah. That'd be funny.
I just think, like, it's... To him, that song represents something completely different than it did to Daryl. That was torture for Daryl. And this is just kind of confirmation that, hey, look, you got a refrigerator that's got food in it.
Right.
You're playing video games.
Yeah.
You got microwave popcorn. So I don't know. I think he truly feels like this is the best he's going to get for a while.
Yeah.
Until the war breaks out.
Just 3 more weeks.
Yeah. Is that all there is? Is it 3
I
weeks?
Don't know.
There can't be that many left.
I think there's at least 5.
Think so?
Well, because the discussion boards are digging into what the episode titles are.
Oh.
Number 14 is called Strong Threats. Number 15, And Here We Are. And number 16, Do It Now.
Yeah, so there's 5 more.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is there usually a gap in there? Like a week or two that there's no new episode?
No, they usually go...
Straight through?
Straight through. So this looks like the last one will be April 2nd.
Hmm.
So yeah, the 5th of March, 12th of March, 19th of March, 26th, and the 2nd.
Yep.
So straight through 5 episodes. Something better happen.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Yes, sir. All right, well, I don't have anything else on my list, do you?
Nope. No? Nope. I think we covered it quite well.
Did we?
I think so.
Okay.
You don't?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. Whatever. I got nowhere else to go. All right. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that good shit. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
I'm going to call Grimbly Grunk.
What?
Grimbly Grunk.
What is that?
The rag doll that he grabs off the table.
Oh.